Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is ruling the ground.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Pilgrims through this barren land, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm asking you tonight, because I have a prepetition, I will continually to have a prepetition, God. And that prepetition is, Lord, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity, God. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those of you that are hurting deep down in the epitome of your soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will allow the church to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to get your cushion to position your posture. Get comfortable. Get your notepads, your tablets. Get your Bibles. Get your writing material to follow along with me as I go into the Word of God. And we are going to go right now into a live program. May God richly bless you and you and you. Hallelujah. All right, our sermon on tonight, entitled, Why I Exist. And our existence and our purpose is solely, we are created purposely and exclusively for God's glory and no other reason. I want to say that one more time because I know that was a mouthful to deliver right there. And I sermon again on tonight entitled, Why I Exist. And I come to let you know that your existence and your creativity of God, his purpose, and exclusively for God's glory. And no other reason. And we're going to go into our first key scripture on tonight. And it reads like this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 8:1. And we will go right now on into our second key scripture for tonight. And it reads this, hallelujah, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 10:17. All right, now, each and every one of us was born and created through God. Yet we were born of a mortal man and woman. But we was called in existence through Almighty God. Our reason for being was exclusively for God's purpose. And his sole purpose was to serve God throughout our earthly existence. And then on into our eternal life with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We was prepared for God's glory and his honor. God's purpose. We was created and we was destined. You and I with the intentional. And that means that it was without error. God deliberately created you and I. And in an increasingly self-centered, self-indulgent, pleasure-oriented society, people are not knocking down doors to find divine purpose in their lives. Financial independence, professional success, social recognition, social acceptance, but not divine purpose. And to search for divine purpose in our lives would mean having to remove ourselves from the center focus and embrace the ideal of a God-centered life. One in which God gives us purpose and direction. It would mean having to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, who am I? And who has God created me to be? What is my purpose in life? And I come to bring you the good news. It would mean having to take a position between pursuing our own personal self-interest or confronting the issues of social justice and morality that we face in our nation today. Amidst the corroding influence of sin and immortality in the nation of Israel, God moved Jeremiah to give thought to his own purpose in life. We find out that God told Jeremiah that even before the prophet had come out of his mother's womb, God had sanctified and ordained him to be God's voice to the nation. But even then, Jeremiah was not willing to accept the responsibility of addressing the social ills of the nation. We're told, in fact, he tried to evade God's direction by claiming to be too young to be a prophet. Jeremiah knew that accepting the office of prophet would require him to take an unpopular position. But God told him not to fear, because he would be with him. God has ordained all of us for some special purpose. Finding what that purpose is, take courage and a willingness to listen to the cues God has given you and I. And accepting God's divine purpose for our lives. Sometimes it means having to take an unpopular social position at home or even in our communities, in our workplace, and in our nation. But we have confident knowing that God is with you and I, as he was with Jeremiah. So I would encourage you that are out there that are looking to find who you are and what your position are. I would encourage you to don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their faces. For I am with thee, says the Lord, to deliver thee. That's in the law of Jeremiah 1:8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to read yet a third key scripture for tonight. And it reads like this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Timothy 4:7. We know that many people live in their own twilight years, suddenly realize how empty and pointless their lives have been. They've made some successful business deals and has had some fun, but in turn of satisfying friendship or lasting accomplishments, their lives have been zero. They have climbed the ladder of success only to discover that all the while it had been leaning against the wrong wall. We find out the Apostle Paul looked back on his own ministry, and he saw that it has been rewarded but not easy. Measured by the world's yardstick of success, his life seemed almost insignificant. Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy while languishing in a cold, damp dungeon, awaiting for his execution. In a matter of weeks, the apostle would stand before Nero, the half-insane emperor of Rome, and his life would end. But he knew that after his death, he will receive the crown of life from the King of Kings. And we now know that the influence of his life changed the course of history itself. We know that as an ancient historian would have written volumes about the splendor of Nero and probably never even mentioned Paul, yet today we name our dogs Nero and our sons Paul. I guess what we live for is pretty important after all. By the way, what are you living for? One life to live for Christ, my Lord. One life to do my own part. One life in which to give my all with fervency of heart. We know that there's no losers with Jesus, and there's no winners with the devil either. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your holy name. We know that the Bible assures us that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Romans 8:1. We have been set free from the law of sin and death, but the enemy of our souls tries to make us believe that we are still dominated by sin. What shall we do then? Reflect on what Christ has done. He died for our sins and declared an end to sin, control over you and I. He rose from the dead and gave us the Holy Spirit. Now we are empowered to live victoriously in him, because the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in us. And in Christ, we are set free. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we know that that which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. That scripture reading is found in the law of Ecclesiastes 1:9. All of us are bound to repeat ourselves as we go about our daily routine. Time after time, we eat and we sleep and we work and we clean up, and we can lose our enthusiasm for life. And if there's nothing new under the sun, out of the law of Ecclesiastes 1:9, there is another way to view life. However, the world may be like to a stage on which the drama of eternity is being unfolded. We are the actors, and the sun rises and falls like a great curtain day after day. And every time we repeat our lie, we make a decision. We either respond to the cues of our daily circumstances just to get our part over with, or we look at our role in life as a wonderful opportunity to know and enjoy the goodness and wisdom of the great director. As we gladly participate in the repetitive activity, and character is formed and faith is strengthened, hope is increased, and endurance is developed through the normal course of events, God is saying to you and I, there is more to our earthly existence than the meaningless round of duties. Part of God's plan for you and I is that we yield to his guidance. In ordinary events that occur over and over and over again, repeatedly trusting the Lord throughout this month, this week, this day, this year, this hour, is by far the surest way to make life routinely fresh. We know that if life is a grind, we can use it to sharpen our character. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your holy name. And we also know that, unfortunately, similar circumstances may be seen in the church. Those who generate the most activity often receive the greatest attention and honor. Hallelujah. But a big program and a flashy personality are not necessarily evidence of divine blessings. We find out that Paul warned against looking at things according to the outward appearance. That scripture reading can be found in the law of 2 Corinthians 10:7. We find out that the real measure of our labor is whether it is in keeping with God's word as if it reflects his glory rather than ours. I would encourage you that are out there in my digital listening audience on tonight, make sure that whatever you do it for the Lord. Then when you glory, it will be in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Help us not to cloud God's glory, nor would self his light to dim. May each thought to Christ be captive, emptied to be filled with him. You can't glorify yourself and Christ at the same time. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we also know the Bible tells us, he said, blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We know that everyone is looking for happiness, and people follow many avenues trying to find it. They look for it in money. They look for it in having parties and self-improvement programs, fancy cars, luxury homes are promoting the cause. That's the wrong list. We know that the right one is found in Matthew 5. Jesus taught us that deep and lasting happiness come from being right with God. He said we are blessed or happy when we are poor in spirit, recognizing our desperate need for God. Mourning, realizing the awfulness of sin, and being generally sorrowful for what we have done. Meekness demonstrates self-control even when we are mistreated. Hungry and thirsty for righteousness, longing to be holy and pure. Merciful, showing mercy to others just as God showed mercy unto you and I. Pure in heart is being single-minded and sincere in our devotions to Christ. Peacemakers, sharing the peace Christ offered and promoting peace with one another. Persecuted, being willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. Looking for happiness, following Jesus' way. Happiness are they who love the Lord, whose heart have Christ confessed, whose by his cross have found their life. Beneath his yoke, their rest. We know that happiness depends only on what you and I, not on what you have. I'm going to say that one more time. Happiness depends on what you are and not what you and I have. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And we have one more last scripture to read before we close out the program. So you say, well, Overseer Ward, why do I exist? Why am I here? And like I first stated earlier, you are created purposely and exclusively for God's glory and for God's honor. And ironically, the frustration of life expressed by the writer of Ecclesiastes. We know that thousands of years ago, seeing so contemporary, our technology advance have given us meals in minutes and the knowledge of the ages in megabytes. Yet with all of our knowledge and ability, we still have much to learn from the experience of the wise old teacher. In Ecclesiastes, we read that the writer has contemplated all that he has gained and lost and has weighed the price paid against the net results. Now in chapter 9, the writer, musing on an empty life, reached their zenith and his journey toward true realization began. He finally realized the purpose and meaning of life. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare that all of this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. Life has taught the writer that God's wisdom was better than strength and ultimately better than weapons. Only through God's wisdom are we able to comprehend and endure the problems of life that are inevitable but still surprises us with frustration and pain. Only through God's wisdom are we able to see beyond life problems and now what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceedingly greatness of his power toward you and I, the believer? And our prayer would be on tonight. Oh God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the wisdom to know that we are created for your glory. We praise you for your tender mercy and loving kindness as we learn how to trust you in all things and to wait for your instructions. We pray daily for our fresh awareness of our dependence on you as we seek to do greater work in your vineyard. Amen. And in closing, I hope and I pray, hallelujah, that I've said something to infuse your mind and to impact your spirit as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, you have any prayer petitions, you would want your old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence, hallelujah, to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to, hallelujah, Overseer Janet Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. We're going to change the dimension of this program on tonight. We're going to bring you Sons of Zion to encourage your heart and infuse your spirit. We're asking you to listen up if you will. Until we come across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.
there?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
Hello? I can hear you over the music.
Bye. call at this time.